Testing, testing. Hi guys, my name's Debbie Evans. I'm relieving principal at Glenorie Public School, and I'm under the impression you're here to hear us, Karen and myself, talk about lambs. This is Karen May, who is assistant principal at Glenorie Public School, and we've been using lambs for, well, some of us have been using lambs for we're up to our third year. 2003 was when I first got involved. I was working over here at the ICT Centre with Jenny Ferguson. You've probably been over there. And that was when I first heard about lambs with James Dayeel. And he asked me if he thought there'd be applications in primary school. We're both working in a primary school. And, of course, from my initial observations, I thought, well, I can see a homework application. And after much playing with it, was able to start designing lamb sequences for in the classroom as well. Until the department implemented the trial last year, I was just working with it with my Stage 3 class, which was Year 5s and Year 6s. But last year we became part of a trial that the department was running, and we took off with it. The whole of the school has had some contact with lambs. We have all of Stage 3 now, as of last year, doing all their homework online. So we don't have to carry home 30 heavy homework books every Friday, and I can mark it as it's being done. So some children have their homework done Monday night. We have children who are way sick, and before they've even come into school, they've already got their homework, and they're getting online and doing it without having to get mum to come in and pick up a homework sheet. As well as doing it with homework, we've been doing it in the classroom, and we integrate it into all of our curricula. Not only do we go to the lab once a week and use lambs, but we also use it in our classroom. We've got smart boards in classrooms. And so, for example, during my reading groups, I would create a lamb sequence that would have an option tool. So if you've all been playing with the tools, you'll know what I mean when I say an option tool. That means that when all the children log in to the lamb sequence, they get to pick which option they go with. If they're in red group, they select the red group option, which might be going to a share resources tool that might be a website that has easier tasks than perhaps my top reading group, which is my green group. So the green group would be taken to a different site. So it has many applications in the classroom in terms of, for example, reading. One of the other things that we created in Stage 3 were some forums for discussion. And now we have this very huge reading forum that we started at the beginning of this term, and every child has logged in at some stage and created a new topic that would be the title of the book that they're reading at the moment, and anyone else that's read that book can open up that topic and type in a reply. And now we have this huge reading resource where children can actually see what everyone else is reading and talk about the books that they are reading, make comments, and I actually don't have to do very much but log in and look at it occasionally. But it's actually a very active forum that the children are basically running and monitoring themselves. Another sequence that we created was by accident. We actually were running a sequence... we were running a maths... helping session at lunchtimes for children who were struggling with maths or had problems with homework. So we created a lamb sequence there. And now any time they have a problem with a maths question at home in their homework, they put it up on the forum. And usually someone else, not very often me, another student, will get on there and help them with the answer. And we've discussed the protocols and the netiquette, and I've explained by showing them on the smart board through monitor how I can see what everyone's writing. And so, of course, there has to be an appropriate level of assistance. And I do say to the children, please don't just put the answer. If you can describe how that would get to that answer, that'd be great. And so I've got children who are probably my gifted and talented children, or my tech heads or my nerds, are on there all the time helping out children who are struggling with something like maths or reading. I know you're probably going to have 25 or 30 questions about that, but before I stop there, The other thing I wanted to mention was another thing that we've been doing, or two things. We've created a sequence at the end of last year for the parents in our school who were the... better be mine. Better turn it off. We created a sequence at the end of the year for the Year 6 parents who were organising the Year 6 farewell. And they actually logged in as their, with their children's user accounts, and they did all their communicating about organising the farewell for online rather than getting together one night at one's house. We live, well, we work in an environment that's semi-rural, and we've got lots of children coming up from Wiseman's Ferry to school, and they might be on the bus for 30, 35 minutes. So for parents to get together was very difficult. So it actually was very helpful for the parents, and they had a lovely forum that was all about their organising committee. And I had a parent ring yesterday and asked me if I could do the same thing for our school fete later this year. So the organiser of the school fete is going to have a forum, and all the parents are going to be discussing details and planning for that event. And the other big thing I think we did at the end of last year was we used LAMS to collect and collate all of the data that goes into creating our management plan for the next 3 years. The department asked us to collect a lot of data through surveys, and of course the department provide us with hard copies, print versions of surveys, and all I did was import those surveys into a LAMS sequence using the multiple choice tools and the survey tools. And as soon as parents, children and staff logged in and answered those survey questions, we had instant data that we could analyse. We spent all of our time analysing the data instead of some of the time tallying the data. So that was a fabulous administrative tool for us at the end of last year, and it made designing and writing our management plan so much easier. The really fun part... do I have any questions before I hand over to Karen? Yeah.
I was just wondering about children having access to computers for homework.
Yeah, great question. We probably didn't have as many children... When I first arrived at Glenorie, I did a survey then on how many children had computers in schools, and the percentage of children without computers was significantly higher than I'd been experiencing at my previous schools. I suppose the semi-rural nature of some of the families. But the increase in the number of parents who've rushed out to get computers, and that's we didn't do this to get them to do that... they've just seen the need for it. We don't just use LAMS. We do lots of other online things and computer-driven things at school and at home. But I think that parents are realising the need for that. Having said that, we still have a number of children without computers or without internet access. As I said, they live a long, long way away, and some of them have dinosaur technology, like dial-up, like Mrs. May, who lives out in Whoop Whoop. And so... I mean, LAMS runs fine on dial-up, but a lot of the other things we do don't necessarily run very well on dial-up. So we provide a hard copy of everything we do. So if I'm designing a survey in LAMS, I have a Word document version of it. The homework has a homework sheet version of it, because even the best technology can fall over one day. At the moment, touch wood, the Melco server we're on is sitting very nicely and hasn't had a moment's glitch this year. It's had its hiccups, you know, in its infancy, but it's really running beautifully at the moment, so we haven't had any dramas. But as far as equitable access, if there are children that don't have access at home, we provide extra time in class and in lab time for them to have access to LAMS. Does that answer your question? Yep. Anyone else? No? Well, I'm going to wow you with Karen May's adventures in K12 land, because what they're doing in LAMS is also very special. By the way, before I go any further, did anybody read the Sydney Morning Herald today? Get your last editions this afternoon, because Glenorie Public School are in there, page 18, a great big story about... the storyline is schools without books. And the original, well, the major part of the story is about your ICT centre and Jenny Ferguson and John Hedberg have talked to the media about how there seems to be a bit of a wane in terms of the use of textbooks. We're seeing it to some degree at Glenorie Public School, but whilst that hasn't been an intentional move, we're certainly providing opportunities and different kinds of learning experiences that textbooks can't give. So we were interviewed and we are in the paper. So we've got a lovely photo of one of our students using the smart board in the classroom and a little bit of a grab there about LAMS as well. So, sorry. Oh, well. No. No, $3,500 will get you a great piece of equipment. We have 5 at our school now. We have 3 classrooms that don't have blackboards anymore. We've taken out the blackboards and put in a smart board, and so it's connected to a laptop, and we have a projector that projects the image onto the screen. It's a touch screen, so children are up there touching it. And when you use LAMS and a smart board together and you've got a small group of children working independently on a LAMS sequence because you know that they're not going to go off and go to Google or do anything else, they're just sitting there totally engaged. I'm up the back listening to children read and another group's over there doing another exercise, and the smart board is fantastic. Of course, that's the brand name. There are lots of other brands of interactive whiteboards. We also have just a normal whiteboard sitting next to the smart board. So if I've got to put a message up that I want to stay all day and I don't want to have to keep flipping the screen back up, I write it on the whiteboard. But the smart board is the part that we all have fun with. Yeah. Any more questions about that? Well, this is Karen May, and I'll let you hear about Playland in K-2. I'm going to click this on.
Now, you'll have to excuse me. My audience are 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, so if I'm talking to you like you're 5, just say, you know, we're a little bit ahead of that. Big obstacle. Most people think, how on earth do you deliver technology lessons, ICT skills and LAMS to people who are this big? They can do it, trust me. They are the most capable, independent little people you'll ever come across. And just like everything else, they embrace it and they love it and they're enthused about it and they're, you know, get out of the way, old lady, and let me at it. The first thing you learn to do in my classroom when you come into kindergarten is learn how to use a mouse and also a mouse sensor on a laptop, and they pick it up just like that. They're not scared, they're not afraid, they don't care if they break it, as, you know, some of us do when the boss says, oh, you've broken this equipment. And their enthusiasm just spreads like wildfire. They become teachers to all the other children. Last year or the year before, Debbie does the top end, I do the bottom end, and we kind of meet halfway with some kids who end up leaving the school computer literate. And we had 2 little boys in kindergarten who we have our own web pages, and they're all doing that with Front Page and designing their web pages. And this little guy sits there and he's, you know, all into the like G.I. Joe background and red and white, you know, colour flashing things on it. And they decided that was still a little bit, oh, you know, Generation X, we want it now, we want the best version, and we actually want the music to go with it to download onto our iPod. So keep that in mind when you're in a school, that's what they expect. So they're there and they decided this is just a little bit dull and boring, and they decided they would work out how to make their name go across the screen, floating marquee banner. Well, it became the, you know, epic of the year, because then the children sitting near them went, wow, how did you get, you know, Jack to float across the screen? Let me show you. And then they show the next child and the next child. And they worked their way up to year 6. These 2 little kindy guys strutted down to year 6 and taught Mrs. Evans how to do the floating marquee banner. So never underestimate 4- and 5-year-olds, because their ability to embrace technology is fantastic. You know, welcome to teaching. You're going to catch all of these people out there that go, oh, you're going to be a teacher, are you? What a shame, you know. Waste of career. Oh, just awful. Pays bad, holidays stink, you know, all of that sort of stuff. There are so many things that are great about education, and working for the Department of Education in public education is brilliant. It's an innovative, motivative, enthusiastic place to be, and we have top-notch resources. We have smart boards, which private schools around us don't have. We have laptops that little kids can use. We have, you know, all sorts of things happening in DET, which is fantastic. And as I said, you know, going to be teachers, great, fantastic, 9 to 3, we've just both pulled a 12-hour day, so I'm going to get you to do a little bit of work for 5 or 10 minutes, because we're running on 2 cups of coffee and a few sultanas today, because it was one of those, you know, days that just happen in schools. If the wheels are going to fall off the cart, they come crashing off, and, you know, because of our media circus today and a few other incidences, we've been sort of on the run all day. Driving in the car, we almost went paper, scissors, rocket, who's actually going to steer and change gear, because we're so tired, but anyway, we made it here. So think about lambs. You've had a play, you've had a look. How would you go about delivering it to little guys who are 4 and 5 who can't read yet? What would you do? How would you implement that, and what sort of strategies would you put in place for them to look at a lamb sequence? Yeah. Beautiful. Excellent. Excellent. Now we have the fantastic HTML notice board. You can put, you know, graphics in there, images. PowerPoint as a shared resource is unreal for little guys. Make a PowerPoint presentation. Have all these, you know, bright flashing coloured things at them. They download that. ICT skill. Tick it off. They've got, they can download a file. They watch the images on the screen, and then they actually have to do some task afterwards. What are you going to do about the reading of the instructions? Small up the top, not terribly large, doesn't speak to you when you run the mouse over it, but my friend James, I hope, and Ernie are working on that. What are you going to do about that? How are they going to understand what they have to do in the sequence? Any ideas? Yep. Oh, yeah, Karen's really good. She does winks, and it's really cool. However, that's really big and tricky to do. That would be a great idea. And if you had advanced technology skills, which quite clearly I don't, that's why they leave me with the little guys, it is quite difficult to do that, import into a sequence. What we have come up with is readers and scribes, just like you would if we're teaching little guys to read out of a paper book. When they come to me, they've got their little paper book and they're all keen, they're exciting, and they open the book up and they go, you know, yeah, there's a picture of a dog and there's this and there's that, and they've no idea what the words mean or how it matches the text and all of those things. So we've got to start with scratch and deliver this message to them. Same thing with lambs. We buddy them up with year 5 and year 6 children. They come in, they read the instruction to them and scribe, start typing. By end of term 1, we're in week 10. Week 10, we're on the home straight. We can almost see the holidays. My little guys are now confident enough to start typing text in after 10 weeks of school. But in that initial stage, they still need readers and scribes to help them out. So just as you deliver any literacy lesson, provide scaffolding, all that great stuff they're teaching you at uni, you know, all those strategies that you're going to take away and use in your classrooms, same thing with technology. Just embed that into it. LAMS is unreal because it supports fantastic things like, you know, PowerPoint. It supports, you know, web shared resources, just web pages. There's some brilliant things out there for little guys. I was actually going to show you a very small sequence on celebrations, but, you know, it just got too hard. But I'll put it on the community site and you can have a look. And it's at the end, it's just this really simple little animated firework thing. I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to sit there and design the web page and do all the work behind it. To put it into a sequence, all I did was make up a generic letter to whoever designed the website, send it out to them, say it's for educational purposes, non-profit, not making any money, only going to use it with little kids. You always get a response and they say, yeah, you can use my website. So that covers all any copyright issues or problems like that to embed websites into the sequences. Word documents, you know, all of those sorts of things. You can make them pretty and colourful and, you know, Venn diagrams and all fantastic things. Just put them in. Little guys are now able to download a file, upload a file. Pretty high tech, you know, skills for kids who are 4 and 5 years of age, and it's really amazing how quickly they become accustomed to it and how quickly they're able to do that. We use the printer a lot. The printer is our friend because often, you know, it's a bit tricky to get information down in a Word document, save it to the desktop, put it in my folder. Oh, my God, I've lost it. And, you know, things like that happen. So often hit print, guys, go and run, and they stand like this. You know, little five-year-olds stand there by the printer waiting for their sheet to come out, and they actually manually write in it. So you can kind of merge the two together. Bit of technology, bit of old technology. James talks about digital immigrants and digital natives. Unfortunately, looking around here, you're all digital natives, a lot younger than some of us. Apparently, if you're under 30, you're a digital native, and if you're over 30, you're a digital immigrant.
Well, you can't be, like us.
That's right, exactly, that's right, I'd love to be. And little kids just embrace it. You know, they're Xbox kids, they're mobile phone kids, they've been playing on technology since Zot. You know, it's not new, it's not scary, it's not frightening. And don't be afraid to think that the children, just because they have low-level literacy skills either, because I come from a special ed background and working with children who have cerebral palsy and things like that, technology is unreal. Big jelly bean switches. One like this, that's enter. The big one like this, that's your cursor to move along. And they can manage with that. There's so much adaptive technology out there and that you can put on a computer for kids who have special needs as well. So it covers all spectrums. Technology is great. And I'm going to wrap it up there because I know we're out of time.